Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
Good morning. It's great to be in church with you today. Thank you for gathering to God and around His Word and worship. And thank you for the musicians. Let's just give them a hand. They did an amazing job this morning. I really do appreciate your ministry, sister, brothers, for leading us into a place where we could nuzzle up to God. And just tell him how good he is. So that's wonderful. So it is actually my birthday today. Yeah. So I have dyslexia, so I'm only 16. All right. And I'm a bit nervous because that means I've known Joanna for about 300 years or something. And I used to be skinny with dark hair. And she's still skinny and got dark hair. And look what's happened to me. So you're only as old as you feel, they say, isn't it? But now my candles cost more than the birthday cake. And life's a bit like a toilet roll. It's true. The closer you get to the end, the faster it goes. And when people come down, they bring flowers, I get nervous. So... welcome. We're going to just, try and bless you with something that's probably very central to our Christian faith. It's called the Lord's Prayer. I think it should not be called the Lord's Prayer because it's probably the disciples' prayer, but traditionally that's the way it's been described because this is actually a model that's been given to the church on how to pray. And I want to just actually focus probably on the center section of the Lord's Prayer, but also to just do a little bit of an overview as well. But just as a little bit of a taste for that, I've got a video I'd like to play. Thank you to our amazing AV people. Give them a clap because otherwise we'd also be in trouble.
And lead us not into temptation.
Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's an old pastor's joke, but guess what? I'm an old pastor. You hear the one about how this businessman approaches the Pope and says, I will pay you a lot of money if you change the Lord's Prayer from give us our daily bread to give us our daily chicken. And he says, no, I'm sorry, you know, it's not doable and stuff. I'll give you $100 million if you'll change the Lord's Prayer from give us our daily bread to give us our daily chicken. He says, no, look, I'm sorry, I can't do it. He says, I'll give you $200 million. No, look, I really can't do it. I'm sorry, not for all the money. I'll give you $300 million if you change the Lord's Prayer from give us this day our daily bread to give us our daily chicken. Anyway, the next Cardinals meeting of the College of the Cardinals, the Pope got up and he says, I've got some good news and I've got some bad news. The good news is the Catholic Church has $300 million more in which to fund all its activities. And all the Cardinals clap. The bad news is we've had to cancel our contract with Baker's Delight. It's an old joke, but it's a goodie. So when you pray, this is Matthew chapter 6. We're just going to dive in, verse 5. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that all their reward they will ever get is there. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as other people of other religions do. Fascinating, isn't it? Actually, when you look at the heart of Christian prayer, it's very different in that it's a conversation that you have with a Father who loves you. Very different. Virtually all other faiths, it's ritual, it's the same regulation. There's certain faiths where you've got to pray five times a day, you pray in a language that you never learn, and you say the same thing every day of your life, five times a day. Well, Jesus says, don't pray like that. Pray in other ways. They think that their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. Isn't that fantastic? Today, you have a Father in heaven who is all-knowing, all-powerful, all-wise, all-capable, who knows exactly what you need. Fantastic. That makes me pleased. Then he goes on to say, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food that we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And do not let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from evil. So this morning, I just want to show you the key to successful prayer. Is there anyone here today who would say, Pastor Mike, I would like to know how to pray really well, get really successful at that? Thank you. You can come every week. Anybody else want to come? So I want to say, if I could have a look at that next slide, thank you. Prayer, biblical prayer, is a moment that has a movement attached to us. Prayer is something that should lead us from where we are to a different space spiritually. So prayer at its very core is a relational moment that creates positional movement. It's a relational connection with God that changes where we are internally. Prayer is a journey. So if we just have up the next slide, I'm going to just give you a very short Bible college lesson, so I can't help myself. I'm a closet theologian. So this is the Lord's Prayer based on Hebrew thinking, Hebrew structure. So even though the New Testament that we have, the original autographs were written in Greek, nevertheless, the people writing them were Hebrew thinkers. And Greek thinkers think like the way they make you learn in university. You start with an introduction, and then you build your argument down to a conclusion. And so your argument is linear. It's in a line. It's like an arrow. Where Hebrew thinking is actually built upon the structure of an arch. It's actually a bit more sophisticated. It's built upon the arch, which means that the central idea in Hebrew thinking is not the end point. It's the middle point. Greek thinking, where's the most important point in the argument? It's the conclusion. Would normally be, in fact, every student knows, if you want to get through your reading very quickly, just go to the last paragraph. But if it was written by Hebrew, you'd miss the point. You actually have to find the middle paragraph to know the central point. And it's far more sophisticated, because what it also means is then the author is then paralleling, is that a word? Is there a good Chinese word for paralleling? I'm trying to learn Urdu right now. So I know enough Urdu now to get my face slapped by a Pakistani woman. So we're working on it. It's parallels. It matches each other. They're coupled. It could be a couplet of dissimilarity. It could be a couple of similarity. But then when we apply this thinking to the Lord's Prayer, we actually get a very different understanding of it than if we were Greek thinkers. So today, can we be Hebrew thinkers, where we go from the particular to the whole, rather than from the whole to the particular? Today. So where we start in prayer is in the physical and in the now, the present. That's where we start. We hopefully finish up in a place where we are now, have some sense about our future, and it's spiritual. Move from the physical to the spiritual, and we move from the present need to the future reception answer. We move from expecting to receiving. And then we find out that these couplets are going on. So the Lord's Prayer starts with praise. Our Father, hallowed be your name. It's a really good place to start any prayer. The moment you start focusing upon who God is, the more you do that, the more your problem comes down in size. We often start off a prayer with big problem, massive problem, and very small God. And what praise does, it says, Lord, you are great and you are faithful. And God gets a bit larger in our understanding, and the problem gets a bit smaller. The more you praise God, the bigger God becomes. The psalmist says, come, let us magnify the Lord together. It's one of the reasons why we gather together as God's family, is because together we get to magnify the Lord. And our problems and our struggles and our little issues start to come down and we get the right focus. So your name be honored, but it starts sometimes with a bit of hope. But it finishes off with expectation. It goes from that place where you're praising God in faith to that, because you're praising God because you know that you know that you know that you know God's going to come through. That's ultimately what great successful prayer looks like. You move from God help me into God, you're going to help me. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God's on my side. You move from God, I've got bills I can't pay, to God, I thank you, my bills are paid. And nothing may have happened in terms of the practical. It's happened in here first. That's why we call it the life of faith. So we start off in this place where it starts with praise, but it also ends with praise. The pattern of successful prayer begins with this wonderful thing of telling God, not because God needs to hear it, it's because we need to hear it. My prayer, your prayer, our prayer should always be bookended with praise. Amen? So hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come. Why? Because yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Thy will be done. I think I've told you this story before, but it just illustrates it a little bit for you. My wife and I were unable to have children for many, many years. And so we were trying, and we went to the doctors. They couldn't really find much wrong. But we prayed, and I felt God say we were going to have children. So what we did was we went into the place that we're renting that time. We're in the Blue Mountains in our Bible college days. And one of the rooms, we bought a cot. We bought a high chair. And we got all the gear together and stuff. Didn't know it was going to be a boy or a girl yet. So we got some pink stuff and some blue stuff and all that thing. And people would come and visit our house. And they would say, you show people around the house, and here's the baby's room, and they'll go, oh, congratulations. You've got a baby. And we say, we've got a baby coming. He says, well, Monique, you're not showing much. And he says, when's the baby due? He says, oh, we don't know. And then they start to think, oh, dear, these people might just be a little bit strange. But you see, that's what biblical prayer looks like. You move from begging God to thanking God. You move from asking and inquiring to getting that confidence, that assurance, that thing that we call faith, that God's got it. God's going to take care of it for you. So the next one is, thy will be done, my protection be. Now, here we often, in the Western world, we've really separated those ideas. Oh, God, protect me. God, keep me away from trial and tribulation and temptation. You know, that's the prayer we often pray, don't we? But we don't see that it's immediately connected with this idea that let God's reign be happening. Because if God's not ruling in Mike's life, then guess what? Mike is probably going to be doing some things that is not going to position him to be safe and to be protected and not to be tempted. You see, when I'm letting God rule and reign in my heart, then God can absolutely protect me. Then God can absolutely keep me from temptation. But we can't separate those things away from each other. We often want to divorce this couplet, don't we? We want God's will and we want God's blessing, but without God's will, you will never get God's blessing. Is it okay if I tell you the truth? If you're not in God's will, you will not be able to enjoy God's blessing. Come on, I'm telling you the truth, aren't I? So let's face the facts. When it's not God's will, when God's will is not done, we will experience judgment, testing, temptation, and trial. However, let me suggest to you that what God has joined together, let no one pull apart. Let God's will be done, and then you can absolutely say, God, you can protect me, you can prevent me from entering into temptation. So you cannot separate those out. And your kingdom come, thy kingdom come, my forgiveness grant. This is a powerful thought. Because what this is saying is that at the very essence, the gospel, Christianity, is about forgiveness. Every time the kingdom comes, forgiveness is involved. How did you get into the family of God? Well, somewhere, some person shared with you the gospel, you received a tract or whatever, and you heard the fact that you had offended an angry God, and that what was required for you is to make peace with that God, and there's no way you could do that in your own strength. You could never be good enough. You could ever earn enough brownie points. Didn't matter what you do. The only thing you could do is come humbly before your God and say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And at that moment, the kingdom came into your life. True? That's how the kingdom came. And I think the kingdom continually advances when we let forgiveness flow through us. You know, we're in a situation these days where there are many demands upon the Church of Jesus Christ, particularly in the Western world. And it's so easy that what the world hears is that we are judgmental, that we're critical, and all we'll ever do is throw a big Bible at you. In fact, this is a place of forgiveness. No matter what we've done, no matter what you're facing, the Church of Jesus Christ has the power to actually champion what God has done upon the cross. Jesus said it, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Forgiveness is key to the kingdom of God. That's why if you hold unforgiveness in your life, you're going to have a blockage to the rest of the kingdom. You know, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have offended us. So we enter into the kingdom of God through forgiveness, but Lord, then we get hurt, we get offended, so we close up and we carry around bitterness and resentment and we wonder why we're not living with the peace and the abundance that Jesus Christ promised. Look, I get it. I get hurt. I understand hurt. But you've got to let it go. Forgiveness is the gift that God gives you the power to give to yourself that you can live free. You don't have to be there again. You don't have to be held back by the hurt and what might have happened yesterday. You can live freely today. The power of forgiveness is incredible. And so the coming of the kingdom is this idea of the coming of forgiveness. We enter God's kingdom through forgiveness and we stay in this kingdom through forgiveness. If there's no kingly reign, there will be no forgiveness. I've met some people in church life. They may go to church, but I tell you what, they're bitter, they're sour. You know, you think they were baptized in lemon juice. Seriously. And you know, where they spit, the ground dies, you know. A number of years ago, many, many years ago, we had a lady come into our church. She was formerly a Salvation Army officer. So, you know, well-grounded in terms of ministry practice. You know, has had some significant training. She was married to to her husband, of course. So you're normally married to, isn't it? Unless, of course, it's your wife. But she was married to her husband, and they had a terribly toxic relationship. Terribly toxic. And what had happened many, many years ago, apparently this man had been living in a flat, the couple had been living in a flat, and he had unwisely just walked past the window wearing just his boxer shorts. And a woman across the road saw that, and she felt that this man had done the wrong thing, called the police and all the rest. And this triggered a great deal of shame for this lady. She was a minister at this time. The police took him away. All the charges were long-term dropped, and there didn't seem to be any other problems underneath that. But she could just never forgive her husband for what happened. And, you know, she was lonely. Her kids had nothing to do with her. No one wanted to talk to this light. She burnt every relationship in her life because she just couldn't forgive her husband for this event. You know, it's easy to forgive people when they say sorry. Actually, it's not so easy to do that either. It's really hard sometimes to forgive people who don't deserve it. But can I just encourage you to come into this space? The forgiveness that you received from Jesus, you didn't deserve that either. That's why we call it grace. So freely you have received, so freely give. Move on from what took place. Cry no more tears over what happened. Give the devil no more of a hook on your life to hold you back. Learn what it is to live in forgiveness and forgive yourself. Not only those that have perhaps hurt you. Sometimes you also need to say, hey, Lord, I don't understand it. I don't deserve it. But I'll live forgiven. I'll live forgiven. Amen? And then we get to this capstone. So in Hebrew thinking, we've done the back half of the prayer already. Thy name be honored, thy name be honored, thy will be done, my protection be, thy kingdom come, my forgiveness grant. And in the ancient world, the most amazing architectural phenomenon that enabled the Romans to build their aqueducts and the Colosseum and these amazing cathedrals was, of course, the arch. And the arch is this fascinating structure that as you build it, and eventually you put the capstone in or the keystone in. Jesus is called by the psalmist the keystone, the capstone. It holds the whole building together. And so the more you jump on it now, the stronger it gets. Gravity now works through engineering principles to keep this together. And so the key thought to how you should pray successfully is contained in this idea of give us this day our daily bread. Okay. So notice here a transition's gone from you to us. Or to put another way, we've gone from me to we. Great prayer is just not about me. Healthy, successful prayer is about we, just not me, because sometimes I can make decisions that are so independent that it harms and it hurts the people around me. You will never make a bad decision when you're thinking about we instead of me. So here we recognize that the daily bread is best understood just not as mere food. It's more than paratha. It's more than chapati. It's more than the other one. But it's exactly, it has a sign, exactly what we need the day ahead. The Greek word is used by Jesus only here. In fact, this word is only found here. It's not even found in the external literature. Nowhere else in the Bible, nowhere else in literature. And it carries a sense of our daily rations or what we need for today. And here's the thing, guys. Sometimes we think we need X, Y, Z, when really what we need is ABC. You understand? Some of you say, what I need to do is win lotto. Well, the truth is, if you look at the statistics, probably the worst thing that could happen to you is to win lotto. Amen? Yeah, I mean, that's the statistical fact. Most people who win lotto end up bankrupt in a worse place than what they are within a few short years of it. That's the truth, guys. We may think we need, you know, a better wife or a better husband. Don't look at anybody. We may think we need that, but what we might need is actually greater patience. You see, and this is where it comes to be. God, give me today what I need. And sometimes I don't know really what I need. I might think I do, but I don't. We don't see the bigger picture. We don't see the bigger plan of what God might be doing. We may be praying, dear Lord, you know, give me this snake. And he says, I don't want to give you the snake. I want to give you the fish. You know, we have this thing where we think we know what we want. You might be praying for a job. You know, you want that promotion or whatever. And yet that job, you don't know. If you get that job, that's going to take you away from your family. In 12 months' time, you're going to have an affair. Your family's going to break up. And see, we don't know, do we? We may think we want this, you know, Lord, you know, please give me a new iPhone. And all we know is that iPhone we're going to use because it's faster internet speed. We're going to do more Facebooking, then we're going to do some Snapchatting, then we're going to do some Tumblr, and then we're going to be in a bad area. See, God knows. God knows. Amen. God knows what you need. God knows what you need. And we need to live in faith for that. So, give us this day the transition from me to we. Your name be praised. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Move to give us, forgive us, lead us. You hear the change now in the language? It's not as egocentric as we may think it was. Okay, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to give you a declaration. And so I'm going to give you a never again list. So I'm going to say some things. And then at the end of it, if you can agree with this, I want you to say, amen. All right? I know there's several women here as well, but amen as well, okay? So I'm going to just give you that, just so you get into it, I'm going to say something like this. Never again will I pray, I can't. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and you would go, amen. All right? So you got where we're going? Because sometimes I listen to the way Christians pray, and I'm thinking, oh, dear Jesus, help them, Lord. They do not know what they're doing. Okay. So never again will I pray, I can't, for I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Never again will I pray lack, for my God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Never again will I pray fear, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Amen. Never again will I pray doubt or a lack of faith, for God has given me the measure of faith. Amen. Never again will I pray weakness, for the Lord is the strength of my life. Amen. Amen. But those who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Amen. Amen. Never again will I pray the supremacy of Satan over my life, for greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. Amen. Never again will I pray defeat, for God always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. Never again will I pray a lack of wisdom, for Christ Jesus is made unto me the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Never again will I pray sickness, for by your stripes I am healed. Isaiah 53 verse 5. And Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sickness. Matthew 8, 17. Amen. Never again will I pray worries and frustrations, for I am casting all my cares upon him who cares for me. 1 Peter 5 verse 7, I am carefree. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Never again will I pray bondage, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Praise God. My body is the temple. Never again will I pray condemnation, for there is now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. Amen. I can do all things who strengthens me. Never again will I pray discontent, because I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Never again will I pray unworthiness, for he made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on my behalf, so that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Never again will I pray confusion, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Amen. We have received not of the spirit of the world, but the spirit of which God, which we might know all things that God's freely given to us. Amen. Never again will I pray persecution. For if God be for me, then who can be against me? Never again will I pray the dominion of sin over my life, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. And as far as the east is from the west, so far as you remove our transgressions from me. Can you say amen? Amen. Never again will I pray insecurity, because when you lie down, you will not be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet, for the Lord will be your confidence. Amen. Never again will I pray failure, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. Never again will I pray frustration, for you keep Him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because He trusts in you. Amen. Never again will I pray a fear of the future, because it is written, the eye is not seen, neither the ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. And God will reveal it to us by His Spirit. Amen. Ready for the last one? Is this okay? Haven't gone to sleep yet? Fantastic. Never again will I pray troubles, because Jesus said, the things I've spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have some difficulties, but take courage. I have overcome the world. And everybody said, amen. So this is the heart of the Lord's Prayer. This whole idea of moving from wanting and then moving to a place where we are now receiving by faith. It's true, your circumstances might have changed. The baby may not yet have been born, but you have moved your heart into a relational space with your God that's now great. You know, it would be really... whoops. Oh, pretty good at my age. In conclusion, it has been rightly observed that prayer is what moves the hand of the Almighty God. But the prayer that really prevails is prayer that penetrates and moves us as well. It's not emotion, it's a spiritual journey. I think we can be very emotional in that journey, but spiritually we go from a different place to asking to now having received. I've known Henry for many years, and if I said to Henry, do you have a Rolex yet? Not yet. You should be able to get one. Must get a Rolex. And stuff. Henry, would you give me a Rolex? And as Henry said to me, Mike, because you've been a good guy, like me, you've tried to overthrow the Australian government a couple of times in our spare time. And he said, yes. I'd go away. And because I know Henry, I'd actually be pretty happy. Because you know what? I actually believe one day he's going to pick up the phone. Says, oh, the watch is here. You know, you can come get your watch and stuff. But imagine if the next day I ring Henry up and says, Henry, I want a watch, please. Give me a watch. Come on. You promised me that watch. He says, yeah, it's okay, Mike. It's coming. It's on order. I said, oh, okay. Next day I ring him up. Give me a watch. Give me a watch. Next day I ring him up. Give me a watch. Sometimes that's what we're like with God, isn't it? We don't really trust that He's a good God, He's a good Father, and His yes is yes, and His amen is amen, and when He says He's going to do it, He's going to do it. Now, I know we don't like waiting. We don't like all the, sometimes the strife, but sometimes that's what we call faith. Believing God. I have faith that Henry is going to get me a Rolex watch. Maybe the Indian version, genuine copy, only 15 rupees. let me release you in a minute. So we need to move from the test to testimony, from the mess to the message, from the trial to the triumph, from the victim to the victory, and we do it through prayer. Guys, girls, it's not magic. It's not even wishful thinking. It's not even positive thinking. It's actually prayer. It's actually prayer. Take the hand of someone next to you and just pray for each other. Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Here, find someone. If you've got to move, that's okay. Take the hand of someone next to you. I want you to pray for each other. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we share the same Father, Lord. He's our Father. That means, Lord, we belong to a family. Lord, we are related. We are blood brothers and sisters. Lord, we're connected. We're adopted in the beloved, Lord. And Father, you're a good Father. And you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us, Lord. You'll never let us down. You'll always be on time, Lord. Our Father. Bapa. Abba. Papa. Our Daddy. Our God, the one who's given us life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And Lord, we do pray that your name would be lifted up, all your glory, all your honor, Lord, because as we see you for who you are, Lord, we know that you can provide, you can meet the needs, Lord, you can come through, Lord, you are absolutely, Lord, infinite and limitless, Lord. Lord, you live outside of time, Lord, you've got it, Lord, you've got our case, Lord, you're not going to let us go. Lord, hallowed be your name. Lord, let your kingdom come. Lord, rule in me, Lord. Rule in Mike. Lord, let your reign, let your rule be established in my life. Lord, because as your kingdom comes in me, Lord, then it can be exercised through me to others. Lord, in me, through me, your kingdom comes. Your kingdom comes. Lord, kingdom comes to family. Kingdom comes to our workplace. Kingdom comes to our school. Kingdom comes wherever we go. Lord, if you reign in us, if you rule in us, Lord, the kingdom comes, Lord, wherever we go. Thank you, Lord. Lord, let your kingdom come, Lord. Let your will be done. Lord, as it is, Lord, in heaven, Lord, let it be done in might today. And Lord, give us, Lord. Yeah, Lord, we often say, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. But Lord, give us, Lord, what we need today. Give us the joy. Give us the peace, Lord. Give us the wisdom, Lord. Give us the stuff that money can't buy, Lord. Give us the answers. Give us the wisdom, Lord. Give us the solutions, Lord, that, Lord, we may not only be resource for our own needs, but, Lord, also be resource for the people around us. Lord, give us, Lord, what we need today. Lord, we let go of yesterday. Can't change it. And, Lord, we let go of tomorrow, Lord. You've got that, Lord. Give us today, Lord, today, now, what we need. Lord, and as we do that, Lord, help us to walk in forgiveness. Help us to be those, Lord, that when we come, Lord, into people's pain and their shame and their problems and their mistakes, Lord, that they don't walk into the law, but they walk into the forgiving arms of a loving God. Lord, help us to be like the prodigal father, Lord, who ran, Lord, to throw his arms around the sinner who still stank and pig stuff all over him, but Lord, you were absolutely happy to welcome them home, to have the party, to celebrate the fact that the son that was counted as dead is now fully alive. Lord, forgive me, Lord, and help me to forgive others, Lord. And even now, by your Spirit, Lord, you may need me to go on assignment, to pick up a phone, Lord, to Father, to go, Lord, and say, yeah, we need to fix this. How do we fix this, Lord? How can we be an agent of forgiveness? And Lord, as we do that, Lord, we do pray then. We know, Lord, that we'll be protected from temptation and from trial. Because, Lord, your kingdom's come, Lord, your will be done. There's provision in every area of our lives. And we'll be able to celebrate, Lord. Hallelujah. Our God's a good God. He's a mighty God. And he's done good and wonderful things. And we thank you and we praise you and we glorify you in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.